Genesis chapter 3. Moving on to verse 7, I will read the entire text on your white sheet.
Oh, thank you.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Here ends the reading. Go to James chapter 1 in your Bible, towards the back, way towards the back. Mm-hmm. Page 1196. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 13 or so. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, By his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Last week we saw the beginning of Genesis chapter 3, in which we saw the taking of the fruit. But we said it wasn't that the fruit was poison or something. It wasn't that it was the teeth sinking into the fruit that did it. In fact, we saw that well before that, as James says, it is not simply the action, but it is the desire. When it is conceived, then it gives birth to the action. And so we said, wait a minute, there was already problems before then. Yes, there was. In fact, as we have illustrated several times before, we said this is a concupiscence problem, the sinful desires that go before. And yet, even before that, what's going on? We have a word of God. We took a look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said this was to teach Adam and his wife Eve about how holding to the word of God, they would have what is good, that by disobeying God, this which was forbidden, they would learn that that was evil. And so by not taking of the tree, they would learn the distinction between good and evil. And that involved a little bit of discussion. Oh, really? Then we saw, as we got to this time, where the serpent had something to say, that if you eat of it, you're going to get something. And it's a good something, he says. And God's keeping it back from you, holding out on you, something good for you. And so there is a distrust of the Word of God. Where there is the distrust of the Word of God, that is, where there is no faith and love of God, you begin to doubt God. And then you listen to the words that come from the serpent. But we saw last time that the words of the serpent, we said, well, yes, it's here in God's word, but it's not as if we need to dissect what the serpent says, as if somehow he's going to tell the truth and we can learn something from him. We said, no, he's lying. He's lying about this. And so the woman, verse 6, she saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. In other words, she's no longer listening to God. She's no longer listening to his word. She doubts God. In fact, she attributes to God already before this that he doesn't have her best in store, that he is not a good God. She's going to have to do this herself. And so she took of its fruit and ate. We also saw that the man, though he was not, as we saw in some other passages, deceived by the serpent, that is, the serpent doesn't come to him directly, but he is there the whole time. It's not to make any excuses for him or anything in that way. Nevertheless, in a secondary way, he is deceived second in order of deception, and he is deceived by her giving to him to eat. A couple things as we transition and begin with verse 7. She takes from the fruit and then she gives it to Adam. And he said, well, how come he took from it? And
I think from a practical standpoint, the wife was doing her job and making lunch. And
there you go.
I mean, if my wife gave me food, I'd eat it.
Absolutely. I think it looks like a normal practice. And yet he is there and he is watching. Nevertheless, he kind of goes, well, okay.
Well, they both made God into a liar at this point. Mm-hmm. But not only that, but she's handing this to him. You know, when people do wrong, they always want other people to do wrong with them. You know, evil never likes to be by itself. It wants to have company.
Mm-hmm. Do what I'm doing.
Why is that?
Because we're bad.
I was just going to say that we've seen that she was eating it, she didn't die.
God said the day you eat it, you're going to die. Yep. She ate it, she didn't die. He goes, well, you know, let's go you do it first. I'm not saying that. But, you know, she does it first, and he goes, well, doesn't seem to be a problem. You know, she doesn't fall down dead. She doesn't have epileptic fits. He probably looks and goes, you know, you feel wise? All right.
I still don't understand with Adam and Eve not having original sin, being created perfectly, what was in her that caused her to listen to the devil?
She is not perfected in her holiness. Is she able to? Yes, she is able to deny.
She has freedom.
She had what we will call perfect Christian freedom. Yes, absolutely. Now, you know, I mean, you can push me to the point where we say, yeah, I really can't answer that question. But to say that there was freedom to reject, just as we talked about the angels also had that as well, that is true. Let me just push a little bit further, let me push at least to the sinful side of that question. The sinful side of that question can imply that God could have prevented this and could have made it so that they would have done right. There's an implication behind that we're always kind of... There is a... I'm going to say a... For us, we think that simple... I won't say obedience... But simple doing what God, as if God simply wanted the good work, as he simply wanted them to not eat the tree, and that's what he wanted. But we see in this, in the scriptures, for us as well as for them, that's not what God wants. And the perfect example I have is the Muslim religion, in which... You know, what is you have Allah, what does Allah desire? That you obey, that you do this. What is a Muslim? Literally the word means someone who obeys. And so, unlike Christianity, if you're a Muslim, you come into a country, you don't have to, quote, convert people, you simply have to make them obey. You force them to live under the Sharia, under the laws, and everything's good. Allah's happy. In the Christian religion, it's not just do these things. Martin Luther taught us what? Fear and love God, so that there is always about, he wants not the obedience. You can get that from a slave. You can get that from a robot. He wants the love of a son. So there's something, I mean, there's more here that's going on, and you're right, I can make this happen. But God doesn't, that's not what he's going for.
Well, the obvious answer to this question is, what does it mean when Satan says to Adam and Eve, you shall be like God? Now, what does that mean? We read over the little knowing good and evil. But is that all God is?
All powerful.
Knowing good and evil? What does it mean when somebody tells me that I can be like God? Now, you've got to think about this for a minute. Because this is one of the thoughts that we love to cover up. Mm-hmm. What does it mean when somebody tells me I can be like God?
I can control everything.
I can control everything. Now, what does that mean?
I don't need God.
I'd be like God.
It always means that I can always get my way.
And then everything will be great.
So and everything will be great if I get my way.
And I can do all the bad things I want to do.
Well, now you're going too far with
it. Yeah, we are working on that.
It won't be bad things. If you're God, they'll be good.
I guess you're right. Yeah.
Now, you see, everybody has this thought. Mm-hmm. Now, when Adam and Eve were in paradise before they fell into sin, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because what did they have? What did God give them?
Perfect freedom.
He gave them everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know the difference. You see? So they had everything. Mm-hmm. And what's the first temptation? You don't have everything because you don't know the difference. They're no different than we are. Absolutely. The only thing is, what before the fall, they didn't have sin. You and I start out from the position that I want everything the way I want it. You look at a little baby. What's the baby do when it gets hungry? It screams. Does it care what you're doing? Absolutely not. It doesn't make any difference. If you're bailing the boat and the boat's going under, that baby wants fed.
It's true.
So verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open. Eve takes from the fruit. Adam takes from the fruit. Pretty good. Then the eyes of both of them were open. What happened at that point? What does that mean? We tend to read into that. And I'm going to say again, we read into that, aha, just what Satan said now happened. I don't think that's right. Just because Satan said, what did I do? Then your eyes will be open, you'll be like God. And at this point we go, are they like God? And now, do they know good and evil? Well, wait a minute. Why do we have to? He's a liar. So when it says their eyes were opened, what does that mean?
They realized the consequence of what
they've done. They realized some of the consequences. In other words, they were sinning. Absolutely. They didn't realize they were sinning. Is that possible? Can you be a sinner and not really realize that you are sinning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that is the normal state of
being. Because I'm a sinner.
Isn't it? In the midst of it, it feels good. It's great. What's the problem? Later, the prodigal son story has this, right? Where the younger son, he goes off, he squanders all his stuff with prostitutes, and he's eating the food that the pigs have. And then the text says, and he came to his senses. Doing this. And there's at some point where you go, whoa. Their eyes were open. It came to their senses. At this point, there is I like exactly what you say. This is not, I understand it all now. But there is some consequence at this point. But up to that, there wasn't any. And so the woman is eating, and Adam goes, it must be fine. You know, God didn't strike her down. Once again, isn't this, I mean, we tend to interpret Genesis 1 through 3 as if it was a different world. It's the same world we live in. I mean, yes, that was, you know, Genesis 1 and 2 is perfect, but we live in the same kind of world, the same kind of thing. What they are doing is what we're going to see happens with us as well, where we don't realize our sin, or fully realize our sin, or even in the midst of the sin, we don't even think it's sin.
That was a moment of their first bad experience, or feeling, and who knows what that meant. Who knows what that meant?
Mm.
I mean, they might have had the first ache, too. You know? I mean, yeah. Who knows what that meant?
Right.
Well, the text is relatively clear.
So, it doesn't frighten them. Eve doesn't take of the fruit, and she is not overcome by the wrath of God. She's not fearsome. She says, hey, how about you sin with me? Have some of this. Right? There is not. When sin is active, you don't notice it. You go on, and so she's living it. But it says there comes a point where their eyes are opened. Is it the eating of the fruit that does it?
Disobedience.
Wait, what? Now they ate already. She ate a little bit earlier when her eyes weren't open. He ate. Then they're yeah, it wasn't the eating of the fruit that did it. Satan, is he blinding them? And then he goes, ta-da! I don't think he has that kind of power.
Not believing in the word.
Wasn't it God that opened their eyes? Is that he's the one that opens our eyes to sin?
Yes. So, when it says, then the eyes of both of them were open. That's a passive way of saying something in which you don't have to tell who did it. You can just say it happened, and you have to go, who did it? This is God. This is God who intervened. Now, it's not that God was keeping it from them. It's not that God was hiding it from their eyes. But there comes a point at which God opens the eyes to the reality of what has happened. Is that a good thing?
Must be.
Yes.
Anything God does is
good. If you were never aware of your sin, of the reality of it, how could you ever confess it and be forgiven?
Yes. Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. Page 1114. Therefore, it says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. You can't keep the law and thus make yourself righteous. Of course, it says, rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. Through the law we become conscious of sin. Again, it's not a different world. You know what law and gospel is. What does the law do?
SOS
shows our sin. All right. Go to Romans chapter 8. Go to, hope that's right. Go to Romans 7. Sorry about that. Go to Romans 7. Probably about verse 7. What shall we say then? Paul says, then is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. So the law teaches me what sin is. I don't know evil. I don't know, we're talking about the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know evil until the law tells me what it is. Well, guess what? God already gave them a law and informed them what it was. He said, don't eat from this tree. That tree is what you're not supposed to do. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Think, apart from law, you don't have law, sin is dead. What does that mean? Well, if I don't have...
It has no effect.
Yeah, it's not showing me my sin. And so, there's it's not showing sin, so sin is dead. It's not, it doesn't even exist. It's not even there. Paul goes on to say, once I was alive, apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. Once I was alive, apart from the law. What's Paul describing?
Before he was a Christian.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
The bliss, I guess, of his unawareness.
Right. Yeah. Let's apply this. This is, before their eyes were open, Adam and Eve munching on the tree that God said not to eat, and they go, man, this is the best fruit ever. We're not dying. Everything's good. You think you're wise? Yeah, I'm feeling pretty smart right now. You know, God took it away from me, and now I got it. And, you know, now I am
naked.
Over everything. I'm feeling good. Apart from sin, I feel alive. What do you mean? And then...
You realize.
Well, he was naked before. In fact, he's still naked. And at this point, before the eyes are open, no problem.
It wasn't wrong.
No problem.
Yeah.
But then, when the law comes,
it was a shame.
And then we see, then the eyes of both are open, and they knew that they were naked.
I told you. Does that mean they wanted more than what they were given?
No.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they wanted what? Adult videos or what?
More than they wanted. I mean, they were okay naked before, but now they want more. Naked's not good enough.
They want Ralph Lauren.
Naked is
what could you want? What could be more? You got it all. They had it, and here they are. Well, you know, again, this nakedness we already had before, and they felt no shame. I mean, God already mentioned this before. It was a glory and a good thing. And now, the thing that is good, they call...
bad.
Or they're ashamed.
They're ashamed.
It became less.
It became what?
Less. They wanted more.
Became...
I mean...
Well, I definitely... There definitely is sinful. I think this is even before you even get to that which... You're right, sinful desires. There is always... But the point being, did their bodies change? No, there's no change. Just like the tree. Like I said, with the tree, you look at this and kind of go, this is a sin problem. And the sin problem is, why are you ashamed? You're ashamed because you have decided that this is
unclean and unfit and unworthy.
But God called it was good. There is something that happened. And I'm going to say the like an eye that is damaged, plucked, and doesn't function correctly, that even their bodies have now been damaged. And the damage is total and complete. It is called the sinful nature. Things have gone, I mean, this is not a little thing. And then Brian.
It's interesting that it not necessarily were they trying to hide their nakedness from each other. They were hiding their nakedness from God.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But yes, all of a sudden.
And I'm assuming that's because they realized that was a sin. They were trying to hide their sin from God, just like we try.
So when we talk about shame, shame always comes with the knowledge of a sinfulness. Brian had a...
Nakedness to me simply means vulnerable and inadequate. I mean, in faith, they have perfect peace with God. When we have faith, we have peace with God. As we say, no, I'm going to do it on my own, now all of a sudden I'm vulnerable to the whole world. I can't do it. I'm completely inadequate. So that's going to make me afraid. Now they push God
I didn't believe you. I'm going to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And their eyes are open now, and they're like, I can't. I'm completely inadequate to do this.
Very good. So when we talk about freedom, you know, there's a definition for it. They had it before. Now they don't. If we're talking about liberty, you know, all of a sudden you go, wait a minute. You describe independence. You know, are you free? Well, do I want to be independent from God so that I'm in charge of my, you know, all of a sudden the dependence, is that the problem? You know, so obviously, yes, we got things that is different. The more, Karen, is always not more. But it's the desire. I mean, Pastor Arun just illustrated, when the serpent says this to them, he's telling them, you can have more. The reality is that when they get done with this process,
they don't have more. They got less.
They don't have more. They have less. In fact, a lot less. A whole lot less.
Before they fell, you know, they're living in a paradise where they have not only everything they want, but there's no need to worry about, even think about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be as perfect as today was. You know, they're in a situation where they can't imagine anything but perfect. But the moment they fall, that's no longer the case. Suddenly, you know, they realize that they're living in a creation that's no longer perfect, and they're in bodies that are already going to die. You know, so suddenly, like, wait a minute, there's a tomorrow, and I might not be in it. So, you know, they've gone from this unimaginable perfection to this is decaying and I'm in it. I'm stuck with this. And there's no way out then.
Yes. Perfect? Absolutely. Yet, is there going to be, just as it said with Jesus in the first Sunday after Epiphany text, that he grows in wisdom and stature, you know, with God and man? And yet they're going to grow. He's got great intellect, not and all. He sees the purpose of the beans and all, and he's going to. And yet he's going to grow in the building, planting. You know, I'm thinking 3-4 years hydroponics. He is on it. You know, this is like the way to go with plants. But you know what I mean? I mean, there's a growth that he is going to. This has subverted the entire process. This has ruined the intellect, poisoned the mind, and the reason is no longer sound. When it says their eyes were opened, they begin to a little bit learn something about what has happened. What do they do realize? They realize nakedness and shame. Eric, and then I'll come up.
So their eyes are open, and it's not necessarily their eyes are open to their disobedience, which when we think about our sin, when we realize our sin, we're more thinking about exactly what we did wrong, but it's the same. Their eyes are open to their distrust in God. I think that's what our realization of sin should be more too, not necessarily I did this sin and that was disobedience to God. It's mm-hmm. I stopped trusting in God, mm-hmm. and this was the product.
Yes. Your first question is, you know, just exactly concerning their sin, what did they figure out about this? I'm going to compare it to not long ago, I was going on a vacation, got up early in the morning, I'm drinking coffee, talking with my wife, and I'm going 72 miles an hour in a construction zone of 55 miles, is the speed limit. Mm. And I am pulled over. I came to realize, rather quickly, what did I realize? I realized that there was going to be a large chunk of money coming out of this pocketbook.
That's right.
That's what I realized. Now, was that realizing my sin?
No.
That's not yet. It took a while. I won't tell you how long. Can I go a little bit further? On that frame? So they realized they were naked. First thing, They sewed fig leaves together.
Yeah, they did.
Now, what is that?
Mm-hmm. What is that? Their own way of fixing it. Their own fix-it job.
Their own fix-it job. Exactly. I guess I'll keep with my analogy. When I look in the rearview mirror and I see that there are lights going, I can fix this. I take my foot off the gas. I'll slow down.
Oops. Too late.
It's too late. Yeah. Okay. So what do you think? Fig leaves. How many of you are fig leaves? Nobody. Why not? It doesn't work real well. This is ridiculous. It's a terrible clothing. Two, what about this? I mean, I can cover. I can fix this. I can cover it up. That's what we do. We cover up the sin. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. We cover it up. It doesn't work. Shirley, Adam and Eve, they sin each other. Yeah, who else is looking? God? God? Oh, God, we don't want God to see us. Really? Really?
Right.
This is, you know...
I never thought
about it. Does this fix the problem?
Who's going to see them?
No, it doesn't fix the problem. Did we even get to the problem? No. No, we're still, you know, we've got bumps all over our body and we're putting makeup on it to cover it up. See, it's all better. You can't even see the bumps. Wait a minute. That doesn't fix. You're dealing with symptoms. You're not even close. Not even close to the thing. And they made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God comes to them. That is a good thing. That is a good thing. God goes what? Looking for Adam and Eve. Now he knows what. That God seeks us out. Would they have sought God out? No, not at all. God's walking in the garden. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Again, I can fix this. We'll just hide. Is that going to fix things?
No.
No. And can you really hide from God? No. So, the Lord God calls to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Does God know where they are?
Yeah.
So what is God saying to them?
Face your sins.
What now?
Face your sin.
Face your sin. Whoa, I think you're right. Right? Where are you? What should they...
Because they should be with him. He's pointing out not their sin. He's pointing out that they're not trusting him.
Right. So what are you... In other words, tell me what you're doing.
Yeah.
What should be the... What? In other words, all the things that they're doing should lead to the understand... Their reasoning, their intellect, their sinfulness has made them god-awful stupid. Right? Where are you? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Oh. You know, what are you wearing? Fig leaves. Are you kidding me? What are you wearing fig leaves for? Don't you get what's happened? No, I don't know. What do you mean what's happened?
Yeah, I'm sure if it's relevant. I never thought about it before, but God must have let them waller around in there for a while before he came, because they had time to do all that. It takes a long time to it wasn't like they came and God appeared right away. He let them kind of waller around in their sin for a while.
Yeah. But he does seek them out. Where are you? So he said, here's Adam. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Just like, I mean, we already did the serpent thing. You think the stuff comes out of Adam's mouth is like pretty good sermon for us? Or you think we got a problem? Are you going to believe what he said? What does Adam say? I heard your voice. Why are you hiding? God, it was your voice. Was God just too loud? God, if you would only just be a little quieter.
It wouldn't have made any difference.
It wouldn't have made any difference. what are you doing? You know, I heard your voice. It's the voice that is the problem. No, maybe it's not the voice. You made me afraid. I mean, does it sound like, you know, taking offense kind of thing? You know, I mean, it's not the what. Is it that? What's the problem? The problem is you came in and I'm naked. That's the problem, God. Why are you hiding? I'm hiding because I'm naked. And God says, oh, okay, that makes sense. I guess I should have knocked first. Really?
Well, actually he did, because it said he heard the sound of him.
He did the sound.
Yeah. And so then I hid. Why are you hiding? What's going on? Karen, they learned a little bit about what did they learn? Have they got, are they there yet?
No.
It's really no different from when we deal with sin. I mean, we can sit there and think, well, it was, you know, somebody else tempted me. Or, we go through that process of making one excuse after another before we finally get to the point of actual confession. I mean, it kind of sounds like a confession, but we're really just not there yet.
Right, right.
Yep, that please.
And so, here you go.
Oh, thank you.
So, I told you not to eat that donut. Is that a donut in your hand? What's the first thing?
Oh.
And so then I go, let me see. What about on your hand? What's the next thing? Cover it up.
Yeah.
First thing you do is you deny it. Every child does this. I did this. I told my mom to her face. I did not do that. Straight face. Lying completely. Completely. The next thing is, hide it. No, there's no evidence. There is no evidence. That is not. And what's the last thing?
If that policeman hadn't been there.
You bet. That was not my donut. I don't know whose donut that was. I was just holding it for them. It was a loving thing I did. It was not the excuse. They're doing exactly what we always do. We always do this. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? It's stupid. We're trying to get to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're trying. Well, God wants us to get to page 562. He wants us to get to Psalm
562.
Psalm 51.
Mm-hmm. It feels downright awful to face with your sin.
It feels downright awful. Yes. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I did it, and I did it against you. Point blank, yes. That's the confession. They're not anywhere close. And we always go through those three kind of things. That's what we do. Shirley?
Yeah, they are just like what we do. What Adam and Eve, as soon as they sinned, they should have gone and sought God, found God and repented. God had to come and search for them. That's what we do.
That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We always run away from God.
They should have run to God.
Always. Always. Who seeks us out? God does. We don't seek him out. We don't. God seeks us out. This is always the way that it works. Absolutely. And so they are running away from God. Jonah runs away from God. Anytime something happens, there is always a running away. We are scared of God. You don't run away from the serpent. You run away from God. And at some point, do we think that they're going to turn around? Yeah, we keep thinking, yeah, they're going to... No, they just keep going. You know, if God hadn't stopped them, in this text... let me go back and give one more piece that explains this as well.
You say,
the scriptures say God calls us out of darkness. He doesn't call us out of a dimly lit room.
Darkness.
He calls us out of darkness. We're always in the dark.
We're dead.
We're dead.
This is the dead.
Okay, so go back to Pastor Roon, good and evil. I thought he was going to get to the end of... I thought he was going to tell the punchline at the beginning of this Bible class, and he didn't.
Oh.
But he gave you all the pieces to
didn't
it.
Want to steal your punchline.
Oh. I got to tell him this stuff ahead of time. Otherwise, he like jumps. Here's the thing. So, when you understand that the tree of good and evil, again, it is God teaching them, by not eating the tree, they learn what is good and evil, right? So when Satan comes, he flips the whole thing around and says, oh, no, no, by eating the tree, you will know good and evil. And I said, what's the thing that, at least I was, I don't know, was I taught this or did everyone just kind of get this? The idea was that before they ate from the tree, they were good. And after they ate from the tree, now they know evil. So now they know good and evil. But think about this. Before they eat from the tree, they are good. After they eat from the tree,
they're evil.
Do they know good and evil?
Yeah.
They only know evil. Now they only know evil. They don't know good and evil. That's ridiculous. After, what does it say? We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We are in darkness, right? I was sinful from the time my mother... We know about a sinful nature. We confess original sin. What do we say? Is there any good left in us?
No.
No. After they ate from this, they don't have it. And in fact, even all of their natural qualities are now messed up with sin as well. So this idea doesn't work at all. And so when God comes to them in the garden and he is trying to bring forth out of them a confession, can they do it? No. God comes to them probing to see that, and it doesn't work. Psalm 51 begins with what? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Wash me away from my iniquity. There is a mention of forgiveness, of compassion, of love. There's gospel. Apart from the gospel, there is never anything good that's going to come out. God doesn't give them more law. God doesn't say to Adam, now, shape up and let's have another tree. We're going to do, you know, he doesn't give them any more law. In fact, when he tries to bring forth a confession, they can't do it. By the law, it will only lead you further away. Where will you go with this? You will finally go from a denial of sin to a covering up of sin, of an excuse of sin. In fact, that excuse will finally result in accusation. Who gets accused?
Anybody but us.
The woman. The serpent did it. And
God.
Finally, we're going to accuse God. We tend to minimize our sin. So, I mean, sin is just a little thing, a small problem, whatever. But do you see what happens with sin? It never stays by itself. You never just disobey one, then you lie about it, then you do it. I mean, until finally, sin, without the word of God, without God's without God finding us out, without God preventing, without God doing, it finally leads to this demonic way of going, God, you are the problem. What does Adam say? If you had only put that woman in another garden, not in mine, we would have been fine with this. You gave me the woman. And so I am not responsible for this. It is your fault that this is. Eve says,
you put the tree there.
The serpent.
Oh, the serpent.
You made the snake. It's your fault. We do get to, what do we see? We don't get to the perfect confession. This is, how am I doing with time? This is Rome. Rome finally says, if you can make the perfect confession, then God will hand out his forgiveness to you. right? You make the perfect, and if you're not quite right, do some Hail Marys, and then it'll be perfect. You never get to that. God doesn't give the gospel because you made the perfect confession. There's no contritionism. That is
We never, in here, we never see them confess.
You do in Genesis 4:1.
Yeah, but I mean here,
you don't. You don't.
Confess. God gives them
that they know good and evil.
Where does it say that? Who said that?
God says it.
Where?
I don't know that God said that. We're not there yet, but I don't think that's what God's saying.
When they...
Okay.
Go ahead and I'll find it.
It's verse 22.
Okay.
I know exactly where it is.
Like one of us...
To know. There it is.
To know good, that's the mercy of God. They know how merciful God is, but that's after he's...
After Genesis 3:15... we're going to find that that is the gospel promise. I see loving things going on, but I don't see the gospel. The first gospel promise is Genesis 3:15. I see loving things going on. God doesn't take out a sword and chop their head off.
Right.
He goes looking for them. God, when God came to Mount Sinai, it was, you know, we were running away. God comes in the cool of the day to talk with Adam. Mm-hmm. You kind of go, this sure doesn't sound, you know, like someone coming to whip the snot out of you. I mean, it just isn't. So I see loving things going on, which lets me know that God's got a different purpose than you guys thought in his coming. But I don't see it until Genesis 3:15. And at this point, they've got original sin and they have no gospel. They've got a command. They've disobeyed. And where will this lead you?
Mm.
Excuse, accusation. Do you know what the next step is? Despair. The next step is what Judas does. I mean, God is at fault, and I can't ever get up to it, and I kill myself. Despair. That's it. That's where the law leads. It finally makes me mad. You gave me a law I couldn't keep, is what you say to God. When you do that,
they're unable to confess until they receive a promise, correct?
Correct.
Correct. That's why they can't confess here. That's why we don't send them.
Because the best they can get is I got nakedness. They don't even get to what would be at least. So they say, I'm naked. Okay. Is that yet a... What could they have said that would have at least been better? I can think of two things. One would be even better than the other, but...
I disobeyed.
Disobeyed what?
Your word. Your command.
That would have been the best. I disobeyed your word. That would have been... Even if they had said, I took from the tree, that's why I'm hiding. I sinned. They don't even get there.
Mm-hmm.
They do not admit they took from the tree. Right? All they say is, I've got this shame, and I'm hiding. And it's kind of like, yeah, but what are you doing? So finally, God asked the second question. Who did you talk to? Right? You're getting... The problem is a word issue. You are listening to another word.
Trust.
It's all about trust, and it all is about the word. And so, yes, you've got that. Who told you that you were naked? And God finally goes to it. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat? I mean, God puts it right in their mouth. All you have to say is yes.
He forces them to confess.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
The woman you gave. Pastor, go ahead.
Well, one of the interesting things about this is, what should Adam and Eve have been doing instead of sitting there gawking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Come on, folks, we're not pietists. You can tell me what they should have been doing.
taking care of the garden and going about the work.
And fruitful and multiplying.
And what? Being fruitful and multiplying. Why is this such a big thing for us to talk about what they should have been doing? You see, that's exactly the reason why they make fig leaf coverings. Adam and Eve were immediately turned into a bunch of pietists who can only talk about the approved things.
So in the end, and this is where I'm going to leave you, everything that they have done, and when Karin said they can fix it, this is their cure to what has happened. Something has happened. And we know what it is. They don't admit it. They don't go. But they've got the cure. They've got the fix. And everything about it is wrong. It's not until God comes and says, no, I've got the cure. I've got the fix. He goes and seeks us even when we were still sinners, when we were still enemies. Are they enemies?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so he's going to, they have just gone into an agreement with Satan to listen to his word. They now agree. They are enemies. And God is seeking them, bringing them back, and God is going to bring them the cure so that, can you confess your sins? I confess that I did it. Good. Now let's cut your head off.
Oh.
That's all you have with the law. I mean, let's bring you to the full confession. Why? So you can cut my head off? No. But with God, there's the promise with the confession that says, hey, I've got the gospel message, which allows me to be honest and upfront. Right? What do you do if you're called into a court of law? You plead guilty of a lesser charge. Right? I mean, two things. Either one, you deny it, or two, you said, I did it, but there's, you know, I did it. I mean, it was a lawful speed. There was a reason for it. There was a, you know, and what am I trying to do? I'm trying to lose $50, not $600. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. God comes and says, no, I'm going to give forgiveness. So the God of compassion comes and brings to them. He's seeking them. He's doing this. This is the kind of God we have. There is nothing in them that is going to be rewarded. He's going to give them.
Well, I was going to say, when God came looking for them, they should have said, I'm naked, please cover me. But they couldn't do that until after Genesis 3:15, right? Because they wouldn't have known.
And so, you know, their nakedness is not even yet their sin. All they realize is some, you know, the effects of it. They don't know where it comes from. I mean, we have people like that all the time. You know, they're living their life, and it's, I don't know why this is so bad. You know, well, maybe you ought to get married. I mean, God has a plan, you know. I don't know why this life of stealing is so rough. I mean, I have to stay up at night and watch for people going to come and arrest me. Maybe I ought to stop. Maybe I ought to get a job. I mean, there is this. So that's they don't quite realize it. We're going to get to the gospel. We're going to get to the good news. We're going to see that God provides. And even in his punishments, and he has punishments, chastise, he has discipline, he has things that he says to them. Every one of those has a corresponding reason, and we can see the goodness of God in doing these things.
You would think that, you know, just right after creation, they would have had a good understanding of how great and merciful God was, you know, because they were living in that perfect world. But as soon as the sin came, mm-hmm. I guess true mercy is
until sin came, they didn't need mercy.
They didn't need mercy, so they didn't really know what mercy was. Yeah.
So to answer your, they should have known. They did. They knew exactly how good and gracious and everything was. It's the temptation and the word that goes against it that takes it all away.
And that's what it did. It took it all away.
It took it all away.
They had everything.
Now they know evil. And that's all they know. That's all they know. Satan was a liar. Are their eyes opened?
Yeah.
God allows them to see to the extent that they can bear it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, drive us into your word that we might learn not only about those who have gone before us, but that we might learn about our sin and your graciousness in loving us, forgiving us, and seeking us. And then open our lips that we might confess your truth. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.